And specifically today, since we're about to take communion, we're going to focus on the Lord's Supper. Our Lord, this is right out of Spencer's notes, but this part, our Lord explicitly instituted this ritual before his death. As he celebrated Passover with his disciples for the last time, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, given thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After they ate, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink it, all of you, because this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And that's just a composite of several verses in the Gospels and in 1 Corinthians. So what we see is what Jesus so often did. He's given a physical symbol of a spiritual reality. He's showing something outwardly that's inwardly going on. And I don't want you guys to miss in this how important, how intimate it is eating a meal together. Just even the context of how they probably understood this and maybe gets lost a little bit today. I got several examples here in the Bible of a fellowship that God's showing through sharing meals. So it goes back to the Garden of Eden. They ate fellowship meals in the presence of God. Adam and Eve did. After Exodus, Moses and the priests and the elders all ascended the mountain, and they ate and drank in his presence. One of the five offerings in the Old Testament was a food offering. Israelites were commanded to eat their tithe every year in the presence of God. Jesus often used food and drink as metaphors and great teaching examples. And even if you just look at how we're created, food and water, they're so important. Jesus, if you stop and just meditate on that alone, there's just a lot of speech that comes through nourishment we get by eating and drinking. And so the Lord speaks often through this method. And so then we get to this this Last Supper. And the context of that is Jesus and his disciples are eating a Passover meal. And don't forget the intensity of the moment. This is coming right up to the cross. This is the night Jesus was going to be betrayed. This wasn't just a loose, laughing kind of meal. There's an intensity going on here. And I think everyone, and obviously Jesus, knew what was about to happen. And what Jesus does, since he's the one who fulfills the law and the prophets, he did what he was always doing. He's reinterpreting things from the Old Testament, examples in the Old Testament, in a way that brings a point to him, that focuses on him. And so as the bread was broken in this intense moment, Jesus is communicating to them that in the same way his body would be broken and crucified, and as the wine's poured out, he communicates to them that his blood is about to be shed as he died. And this is just a parable. It's a symbolic example. And when we take communion now, like we're about to do, what we're doing is we're taking part in this parable. So not only are we just remembering what Jesus did, then we're not just with our memory, with our mind, what we know of it. We're not just necessarily trying to picture it, you know, and think about what he did. We're putting ourselves in this. We're symbolically relating the sacrifice to himself. So when we put the bread and wine in us for physical life, just like the nourishment of that gives us life, by faith we're declaring that the crucified and resurrected Christ has come into us for spiritual life. And so we don't just also, I want to say more than just looking to the past and more than just making it present, there's also a future tense to this. Because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We look to the future, the second coming of Christ, when the shadow will ultimately be shown by what Revelation 19 is going to call the marriage supper of the Lamb. So a couple things I have to say. Don't take part in this without both repentant and grateful hearts, not just remembering the action with a dead emotion, but having the proper mindset in doing so. Also, our statement of faith says that it specifically says that this isn't something required for salvation. Don't get confused. Salvation comes by grace through faith, not by works. So this spiritual metaphor of the Lord's Supper is only true of those who have already been saved through faith. The whole point of its symbolism, and if an unbeliever is taking this, symbolism of it isn't accurate. And so to keep the symbolism holy, only born-again believers should participate. And so hear that. Don't take this if you're not a born-again believer, because you're going to completely miss the point, and you're making the symbolism of the thing unholy. So each one, me, you know, people who've taken it a million times, people who've never taken it, you know, each one of us should examine ourselves before taking it every time. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, in Corinth, some had even become sick and even died under God's judgment because they took the Lord's Supper without discerning the body. And also, discerning the body, that has a double meaning. You're considering the literal body of Jesus and what his death means, and you're also considering his spiritual body, the church. It's the body of Jesus and our union with him by his Spirit. So examine yourselves. Am I considering his physical body, his death, his resurrection? Am I in faith about it? Am I properly responding with a thankful heart to it? And also, am I in communion with his body? Do I have an offense against a brother or a sister? Am I in this symbolic act of this body together? Am I making that unholy? Is there any kind of separation that needs to be worked out? I've got to examine myself right now. And so as we do this today, I just want to encourage you to think about these things, the spiritual nourishment, the intimate fellowship with each other, and especially with God. And that's all I got for the doctor.